Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. Now, today I'm having a little bit of an adventure because I've hitchhiked out to the Kilmog to meet with my guest, Jenny Upton, who you might know Jenny. She does lots of interesting sustainability things, and in particular, she's very interested in waste minimization. And in today's show, well, it's a little bit about waste minimization because Jenny is using a part of a sheep that often we don't think of using, the hide, and she's been experimenting. Her latest project has been to tan a hide. So I've come here to find out, and to explore the ideas around tanning a hide, because it's something I didn't know much about. So thank you very much, Jenny, for having me.
Thank you, Maureen.
So it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is. It's a stunning day. Stunning day in wonderful Dunedin, or north of Dunedin.
And I was very interested. Well, I know that you do lots of interesting things, and you're always exploring new things, you like learning, don't you?
Yes.
And so this tanning of the hide, tell me, so you've done one so far, is that right?
Well, two, actually. Okay. What we got was our son sent us a message saying, hey, are you interested in a couple of sheep skins? And we went, what state are they in? And they've just been taken off the sheep and they're hanging over the fence. If you want them, they're yours. So we had to go and pick them up from the farm, and we brought them home and we did a little bit of Dr. Google.
Right.
How to tan a hide.
What kind of sheep were they, do you know?
So, no, I'm not too sure exactly, but I think because we've received wool from these people before for spinning, and my understanding is they're the sheep that self-shed, that they will shed their wool.
So like an older variety.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it is. So they don't always have to be shorn. So, and the fleece is white. It's a white. So that's about it, really. That's all I know about the sheep.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But you received these hides.
Yes.
And did your Google?
Yes, we did our Google and we came up with Mother Earth News. And there's I think, I'm not sure if the magazine still happens, but it's an American magazine that's been around for years and years. And anyway, they seem to have everything on Mother Earth News. We've used them before, and so it came up with tanning a sheepskin. So, and looking at it, it also, one of the things was we didn't really want to use really, really sort of severe chemicals, I suppose. So this one looked like it was just salt, a thing called oxalic acid, which we did a little bit of research around, and the other thing was washing soda, so soda crystals. So that seemed fairly innocuous sort of thing. And the oxalic acid that we found out it's a natural acid that you can find, I think, it's rhubarb and parsley was my understanding.
Spinach, I think, has got rhubarb.
So, I mean, we've got lots of rhubarb here, and we did wonder about could we just naturally get the own oxalic, but talking to a chemist friend of ours, she said you'd need an awful lot of rhubarb to do that. And so we Googled again and found that you can buy it locally, and it wasn't too expensive, so...
So you've got your hides. What was the first step?
So the first step was you have to scrape off as much of the flesh, if there's flesh left on the hide, as possible. And these were quite well skinned from the look of it. There was very little on them. So the first thing we did was we had a 20 kilo bag of salt, and the idea is you salt them. So we laid them on some
plywood.
So what did, sorry, what, go back to the flashing, to did, the what flashing. Kind of, what did you,
we just used a knife.
Use?
We just yeah. used a knife, and that was, and there really wasn't a lot. It was sort of clumps of fat, that was quite hard, that it was hardish. And so we just sort of scraped those off was, but the salt, idea of it, is meant to help you with doing a lot of that anyway. So we didn't worry too much about it. And a lot of that was tended to be around the leg part of the skin.
So you just rubbed it in?
We sort of, no, actually what we did with the salt, we just sprinkled it on. That was what we said, sort of a thick layer of salt we put on it and left the skins like that covered for about 4 days.
And I guess that draws the moisture out.
I think that's what it was meant to do and dries the any of those sinews and that sort of stuff, because that's what was happening with the, it was, drawing out all the meat and preserving in some shape or form is my understanding. Mm. But the biggest thing, according to Mother Earth News, was that it helps to get that flesh, it helps to draw off the flesh and the fat of the skin.
Mm. And you just left them out?
We just left them outside. We've got, we just had them sitting on some plywood, and that was sitting on sort of across our trailer cage, I guess. So it was sort of aerated a little bit. And then when it was, if it looked like it was going to be raining or overnight, we just put a tarpaulin over the top of them so that they didn't get wet. Yeah. So that was the first stage.
Right. It all sounds doable so far.
It does. It sounds very easy, doesn't it? That's what we thought. Anyway.
Then what happened?
So then the next step was that you get rid of the salt and you are to scrape the hides off that make. You get rid of the rest of the fat and the flesh.
So no liquid or anything?
No liquid at this stage? Scraping. No, yeah. No. So, and again, we just used a knife. We've got, I've sort of tried a number of different things. We've got sort of a big old carving knife that we were using. Then I've got a smaller paring knife sort of thing that I was trying, and fingers, just sort of if it came off in strips. But one of the things that we found was that you had to be careful, because there were a couple of times where we thought we were pulling the sinew, but we actually pulled the skin and it went through to the fleece. And so we basically, my partner said, look, I don't think we should do much more of this. I think we need to go to the next stage.
And the sinews, where were they? Were they all
through? They were all through it, all across the whole hide, really.
So it's like a thin layer you've got to get off.
Yeah, very thin layer. It's like that top layer of your skin, you know, that the, what do they call it, the epidermis? Is it that sort of, it's like pulling, but... Yeah, not too
so
much.
It's a little bit tricky.
It was tricky, and I guess it was sort of hard to know what was what. And so we basically went, look, if we start doing too much of this, we're just going to have wool and no skin. So we decided that, okay, enough, let's go to the next step. And so the next step was this oxalic acid. Mm. And so the idea was that you could do one of two things. The Mother Earth News said that when she first started, or the lady that was talking about it, when she first did it, you made up a mixture of oxalic acid and salt with water and you painted it on the skins to moisten them. And you just kept them moist, kept the skin, so the backside, not your fleece, but the, not the wool, but the backside of it, and you...
So is there a little bit of water? Because this oxalic acid comes as a powder.
Mm. So it was salt and oxalic acid and water. You made it into, I can't remember the quantities, but you might have had a litre of water and a mixture of salt and oxalic acid in there. So you could paint it on, to like use a big brush and paint it on, just keeping the skins moist, leave it for 24 hours and try and scrape more of it, that sinew. That was to help release that sinew. But when we read a bit more with the Mother Earth, we didn't do that, because what this woman said that she did after a number of trials, she found it was just as easy to immerse the whole thing in a bath of this mixture.
Of the salt and the oxalic acid.
Yeah, so we've got a few baths around here. So we stole the bath plug from our own bath and had an empty bath. We've cleaned it, filled it up, and with the oxalic acid and the salt and the water, and we immersed the skins in that, covered it with a tarpaulin so that the water didn't evaporate, and left it for 3 or 4 days. Actually, it was probably a bit longer because life got busy and we just went, I haven't got time for this at the moment. I'll get there sometime. So that's what we did. We just left them. And then when we got time, we got them, and the idea was to scrape them again to get that sinew off. And they were very soft now, the hide.
So it was looking quite promising.
And slimy. Very slimy was the, you think, okay. Oh, nice.
And I tell you, you were using gloves with the oxalic acid?
I did initially, but then after a while, I mean, the water ended up going down into my gloves, and my gloves disintegrated, and they were rubber gloves, and they just, and you know, the knife cut the rubber gloves. And after a while, I realised that I had, you know, a couple of cuts on the fingers that were letting the stuff in, and so I took the gloves off. I didn't worry. It didn't seem to be. It wasn't that concentrated, I don't think.
Be a nice exfoliant.
Yeah, probably. Yes. My skin was quite soft to use from the lanolin from the hides. That was because
the natural
stuff. So what we did was, we then again were trying a number of ways of doing it. I had a serrated edge knife. I had a sharp knife. I then got a scrubbing brush to scrub the hides with. And by this stage, we had a board that we were, like an old chopping board, that we were putting the fleece on and scrubbing the skin to get rid of that stuff. And then I said to my partner, you got to help here. We need to, you know, I'm running out of oomph with that, and I don't think we'll get it finished. So he had a bit of a go with it, and he got the wire brush. Mm-hmm. And was gentle with it, but that was the best thing. A wire brush was the best thing to do the hide with.
And this was just getting the last of
this. Just getting the last of that. And you could see it, as you were scrubbing it, you could see that there was, it was like flesh coming off. Mm-hmm. You could see the difference in it. And so we did lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. Mm-hmm. Then we went, I think it seems to be enough. I'm not sure that we can get much more off, much more, and we might start damaging the hide. It looks pretty good. So we drained the water, and we washed them then, because that was the next thing, with washing powder, and that's where the soda crystals come in, the washing soda, so that it softens as well. So you're cleaning as well as softening, keeping the, mm-hmm. that. So that's what we did. We did a number of bathfuls of doing that with the hide, and then we just left it soaking in the washing soda crystals for a day or two to let that softener come into it. And when I went back to them, I could see it was really interesting. The hides had looked quite white, quite clean, and that was how they were meant to look. When I went back after a day or two of it soaking in the soda crystals, there was they looked dirty again. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more, I still felt it was more sinew. So out came the wire brush again, and another lot of scrubbing with the wire brush. And that, I felt that looked pretty good. It was looking really good then, the skins. So another bit of a rinse, and I took them out and spread them. The idea, we were told, the next thing was that you stretch them and leave them to dry. According to Mother Earth News, what she did, if they dried when they were, they would use their electric dryer, to the tumble dryer to dry them. But I was a little, we don't have one, we've got some old gates that we put up as an A-frame. They were still joined together, and they were wire gates. And so I pegged out the skins either side of that and left them sitting outside.
And were you stretching them?
I stretched them as much as I could, and I thought that would be okay, because the idea of stretching is opening up the weave and the weft and the warp, I guess, in the skin to keep it supple. That was the idea of it, so it didn't go as hard as a board. But I thought because I'd stretched them like that, that would be fine. Unfortunately, they dried quite hard. Mm. And I'm not sure if it was too hot. We had them out. They were in sort of full sun, and possibly that was an issue. And then also they had a smell to them. The flies really liked them.
Right.
And they did have a sheep smell to them. So I thought, well, actually this hasn't worked. What I'll do is re-immerse them, wash them again. Because again on that, the blog with the Mother Earth News, she said that she had one skin that she hadn't got around to doing anything with, and she'd just thrown it on the compost heap, and it had stayed moist. And 3 or 4 months later, she went back to it, and it was actually all the flesh had been eaten off
by
it.
By all the little things.
And so she said it was all fine to still use, so she went through the process. So I thought, well, it can't harm to wash it again. I was tempted to put it through our washing machine, but I went, no, if some of the fleece comes off, you know, the
wool get into comes your off, machine.
I don't want to do that. I can't, So anyway, back into the bath, and I gave it what I did was use washing powder just on the skin to give it a good scrub again. Unfortunately, what happened is large hunks of the fleece of the wool started to come off, so we've got some bare patches on our fleeces now. So that wool will be spun. But anyway, then what I did was I gave them a good wash. That seemed to be better, and we took them and I laid them over the A-frame, but instead of just stretching them once, I would constantly going out there and stretching them and trying to keep them. And I covered them this time, so I kept the tarpaulin over them so they weren't drying really quickly. The air was flowing through it. Certainly the flies didn't go to them that much this time, but they haven't dried as hard, but they've still dried harder than, they're not a soft, supple.
They're a bit crinkly.
Leather. They are a bit crinkly. And we did try using, you meant to put it also, work in a leather softener, and we used Dubbin, which was what we could get. And that's, I think that's done a little bit, but it's sort of sitting on the surface. Possibly, I think there's a really fine line between the hide drying and too much before you put the dubbin in and work on it. And I think we've missed, we weren't quick enough to
and
put
all those
it on.
Little pores maybe shut
have
again.
Shut again. And I think that's a possibility. Yeah. So, I mean, we could try again painting maybe, like sort of wetting it in patches and trying that. But we'd certainly try it again. We've been offered other fleece to have a go. And I think, one at a time, we try again and we'll
You're very
we'll
determined.
See what happens. I am determined to get it right.
And people have done it in the past, so it is possible.
It is. And I'd love if anybody out there knows and have done it successfully and is, you know, can do a bit of problem solving for us. I'd love to hear from them to sort of say, hey, this is a step that you missed, or this is what you could do, or please be really keen. Right. I'll obviously do a bit of Google searching again.
It would be good. And it would be good if someone who used similar methods to you so that you could figure that one out.
Yes,
because there's a few different methods.
Yeah, and I just don't want to get into that real the harsh chemical side of things.
Because I guess with the leather industry, if we think about it, it is associated with a lot of chemicals. People, they've bypassed all the hard work that you're doing.
That's
and
right.
And use harsh chemicals to kind of get all that sinew off.
That's right. And obviously preserving as well. So, and one thing we did realise is what a lot of work to do.
We should go to the Arctic.
Yes,
a lot of the traditions are being lost very quickly. I know that they would have it down pat.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would.
But and then I was looking. There are different, the North American North Americans. They use brains. Pureed the brains.
Yes. I have heard that's a softener and a preserver of that as well. So I think that was all that part of using all of the animal.
Yes, which brings me back because, that is very very much a part of who you are, isn't it, Jenny? Thinking zero waste and how, you know, not tossing anything on the heap.
Yes.
If you can.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, apart yeah. from that some we just thinking some people have mentioned we do eat our own chickens, but I tend to skin them and just cut off some of the meat, and then I still have the carcass. And a lot of people have said to me, oh, but there's so much goodness in that carcass, all the stuff that you could get from that. And for me, it goes in the compost, or it goes, I bury it under the broccoli, and I'll get the goodness from that carcass via the broccoli.
Yeah. I guess it's always looking for that good solution.
Yes.
Whilst not being so black and white that, you know what I mean, that you're going to the 10th degree and not achieving an awful lot in real terms. You know?
And it just makes it, for me, I can eat the meat from the chicken that way.
Right.
But I struggle with the rest of it.
Whereas the compost loves it, and the broccoli
right,
loves
and the broccoli
it.
Does, and yeah. I love it. I'm happy to eat broccoli.
Yeah. Anyway, and you have a lot to do here. You have a lot of things that you do.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So, but this was a really interesting process, and I would be interested to do it again in some shape or form. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. Mm. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing it with me. I'm full of admiration. I saw the little thing that you were doing on Facebook, and I thought, oh my goodness, what's Jenny doing now? And it's great, you know. And there's so many of these old traditions that have been lost, and that
that's right.
And now we're thinking, that would be quite good to know how to do that.
Well, we did have friends comment to me on Facebook to say, I remember my mother or my grandmother doing this. Mm. It's a process, but it was an amazing experience. So, yeah.
And you'll value, once you get your final rug, I guess it's going to be a floor rug in the end, is it?
These will have to be a floor rug. I think that you'd get a lot of blisters if you wore these. Someone was keen to have slippers, but they might actually be okay. The skin probably would be a reasonable sole to make slippers. So, so that's a possibility. We'll see.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing you in Dunedin.
In my slippers.
In your slippers, Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll take a few photos, and I'll get this up on Facebook and on the website. Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and this is Eco Living in Action. And today I've been talking to Jenny Upton about tanning a hide and her experimentations with it. And so, she is really keen. If you have done this, to contact her. So you can contact me, and I can get in touch with her. So it's ecolivinginaction@gmail.com. So thank you again for listening. Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City and aired on Otago Access Radio. So I'll catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.